What a fucking game.
Welcome to Split the Defense.
The Defense.
Leafs post-game edition.
Which is unusual.
There's still a chance.
Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors. Professional and efficient service since 2004. Serving the Kingston and surrounding areas.
I always feel so stupid.
It seemed like they were missing something.
Alongside co-host Craig Pierce and producer Ted Evans, here's your host, Jordan Webster.
How can you not love this team tonight?
Oh boy, well, we're back here on Split the Defense, Leafs post-game. I'm Webby here with CP, no producer Ted in the booth tonight. Hopefully no technical difficulties or as much as last show. Not a good one for the Leafs. Leafs lose 3-1, now going down 3-1 in the playoff series. 32 teams out of possible 333 times has an NHL team come back from being down 3-1. So where are we starting tonight, CP? What are you taking away from this one?
I don't even know where to start on this one. I mean, it was just bad. It was bad, bad, bad. Yeah, I don't know. Where do you want to start? I mean, I guess you want to start from the net forward or do you want to start from center ice back? Because, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, we can just roll through it and let our emotions out. We had Willie back, so that was good. Robertson moved to the fourth line. Dewar sat, and Brody took Liljegren's spot. And that obviously didn't work. I'd like to start the show with a tweet by Cake McJabe. Is at LeBron McLean, I believe is what it is. But it says, I just want to not be fundamentally embarrassed by this team constantly. I want to actually have some fucking pride instead of telling people in real life I'm a Leaf fan like I'm talking about having a DUI.
Oh, man, yeah, that hits home right there. yeah, it is. It sucks that it's a bit embarrassing. Like, I don't like to kind of be like that. I mean, I hear a lot of that from, you know, friends and everything. But, you know, like I kind of just take the chirps on the chin, basically. But they come. There's no question. Like, you got to have
well deserved. Like, yeah, why do you cheer for a team who just. Why do you cheer for a team who just consistently shows you that you shouldn't be cheering for them? Like, I mean, it's like, I love them either way. I'm not saying I don't. I'm still going to love them. I'm still going to cheer for them next game. But, like, we're clearly fucked. And, like, I just wish that they didn't do this to us constantly, put us in this position where we felt actually embarrassed to tell our friends and family that we're Leafs fans. Like, a lot of us, we could have a whole personality out of this. It's actually probably a good thing because it saved a lot of people from not having other traits in their personality just because they're too embarrassed by taking on this Leafs thing. It's just been an absolute ride. It started out bad. Fourth line shift gives up a 2-on-1 in their first shift. So that's good. Nick Robertson steps on the ice for the first time. Yeah, out of sync. Gives up a 2-on-1. Then Reeves hands the puck over to JVR, who buries, and Boston scores first again. That is how this one started. So from right then and there, hopes were going down, but absolutely not lost. Am I right?
Slightly. I mean, it kind of showed right off the hop that Sammy was willing to give up the entire net. Basically, the entire net through his five hole. And like, yeah, awful turnover by Reeves. But the real main thing that showed me was that like Sammy didn't have his head on straight, basically. Yeah, it's a tough one. Like, yeah, when you see it's a pass right in front, but look at the five hole, you know, like, I mean, he's clearly beat. Yeah, I don't even. Yeah.
Yeah, well, Terry Koshan tweeted, more desperation, urgency, etc. acquired by the Leafs to start the second period. They played in the first like they knew there would be another game if they lose tonight. Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
I mean, I guess I agree with that. Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like 3-1 feels like 4-0 or 4-1. I know that there's a chance, but basically once you've lost two at home, it's kind of, it feels like the nail in the coffin. Like, definitely, you know, I'm a guy that, like, I cheer for the sweater. And so once, even though I hate a lot of the efforts coming out, like, there's no question I'm still cheering and still loving the team. But, like, you can just tell that it's it's a big blow to the fan base, like getting booed off the ice, and it doesn't feel like it. There is another game to play, you know, even though that's maybe the mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. Getting booed off the ice, and that has a lot to do with the power play, which we can talk about. The power play, where do I got my notes here on this power play? It's absolutely horrid. It's one dreadful. For 16 in the series. And it was 0 for 4 tonight. The Leafs as a team have one power play goal combined this series, and Jake DeBrusk has three of his own.
Yeah.
Just Jake DeBrusk. That's a tweet from Mike Stevens. Thanks, Mike Stevens. Luke Fox tweets, the Maple Leafs are getting outscored 6-1 on special teams in this series.
Yep,
the PK gives up another goal tonight. Which one of those stats do you like best, CP?
Yeah, I mean,
fuck me.
Yeah, they all just like point to a losing team. You know, you just can't expect to win with numbers like that. And I mean, there's a lot of circumstances here where like, and reasons why this team's sucking at the moment. And a big part of it is special teams. There seems to be a lack of innovation as well. Like that's the most frustrating thing is that like, you can see that like Boston had a struggling power play coming into the playoffs and they decided to do two units and it was enough to break them out of it and to bring something else. And they're now back to loading up with Marchand and Pasta and because it's working because the guys are feeling it again. So like it just shows that like you need to do something and just moving one guy on or off isn't enough. And like, I don't know if it's just the players have this coach handcuffed or what, but like it's just until really, and it was weird that like we get one basically period of like 5 minutes where the team is bringing it and Marner looks good. And it's when Matthews goes out of the game. And like they just shook something up and it worked for 5 minutes, you know.
Can we talk about that for a second? What happened there? I didn't see that. Did you see that? What, like, Matthews leave the game?
Well, like he was out like the last game, he didn't bring his best effort, they said, because he had food poisoning. So, like, I'm assuming it's back. he only could make it through two periods without sitting on the can, you know. I think that's what it was. I don't think there's an injury there. I think he's still sick.
And then, yeah, you can't send him out when he's dehydrated like that, I guess, right? So,
well, yeah.
Yeah, that's terrible. I mean, you don't want to lose Austin Matthews. You lose him and the series is done. The series feels done now. Like, it really does feel done as of right now.
Yeah.
Like, pulling Sammy and putting Wool in, I think, was just like the icing on the cake, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. And I mean, I thought he was well-deserved, though. Like Sammy hasn't been playing amazing and he gave up some ugly ones. Once they're just wide open nets basically. And so, yeah, pull him out. And it's funny that like Keith is also putting out Reeves in the last 5 minutes. Like it's like almost a full mail in, you know, like, I don't know what that guy's doing. If he's like, doesn't even care about his job or what, but like, yeah, he mailed it in a sense. And yeah, okay, I was going to say, what did you think about Matthews yelling at the guys? Like, he gets talking to by Keith, and then he screams down. Marner throws his gloves like he's fucking in Pee Wee. And Willie actually snaps back at Marner, or at Matthews, yeah.
It looks like he says, stop fucking crying, bro. It's not Junior, or just shoot it. And Marner's having a hissy fit. Yeah. Matthews is telling, like, yeah, he's yelling down. I'm good. I like it. Good. It's about goddamn time they started holding each other accountable. Something came to me tonight that for some reason I had in my head that this was the last year of Mitch Marner and John Tavares. It's not. We have one more full year of this. We have to get through one more full year of this. So, like, fucking figure it out. Those guys aren't going anywhere. They have no trade clauses. Matthews is stuck with them. Figure it out. It's about time you guys start fucking yelling at each other. It's not about being best friends anymore. This isn't the three best friends everybody had. Like, I don't even fucking know. I'm so fucking angry right now. I'm so sick and tired of watching this team lose that it's nice to see some emotion from the guys on the actual bench. Like, I'm not used to them yelling at each other. You know, Marner with his hands up and Willie, you talking like that, you know, you're just not used to seeing that from those guys. Marner having his little hissy fit. I mean, we've seen that before. Again, and you can't take too much away from him. He did score a beauty goal tonight. Like, that was
gorgeous. But after he gets yelled at, though, So, like, maybe it is something that actually works. Like, I bet you Matthews was sitting there in the dressing room. If he saw anything of that goal, he's like, fuck, it might have worked. So, like, that's the good thing. And if it doesn't work and he can't handle two guys beaking at him, then maybe it's the reason that we're able to trade him, because he just can't stand that, you know, the stars on the team don't like him. So, one way or another, it's going to be a good thing, because it either whips him into shape and he brings it, or, and, like, I felt like even though he scored, like, I didn't get, like, it's funny, I got, like, excited about that goal for, like, a millisecond, because I was like, oh, but, like, I don't trust this team to come back. Yeah.
I don't know who I was talking with, but I texted false hope.
Right.
It's over.
I just wasn't feeling it. And so, I mean, yeah, we just got to see, like, that has to be more of the mentality throughout the team, not just in game, what is it, 6 or 5 when you're down, like, it, or no, it's game 4.
We're going into game 5 now.
Yeah. So, like, this was game 4. It's not, it's too late. I mean, but that is kind of the thing that you see from leaders. You know, Sidney Crosby isn't afraid to scream at his team. Nathan MacKinnon screaming at his team. So, like, we don't see enough of that. So, it's good to see at least, but yeah.
Yeah. A bit late. Mitch Marner, as we're on the topic of Mitch Marner, I wrote in my notes, I'm sick and tired of watching Mitch Marner get closed out at the top of the offensive zone and give up the puck. And within minutes, Paul Bissonnette tweets, get Marner off the ice. I've seen enough. Unacceptable. He's lost every single puck battle tonight. Lost it before the penalty. Incomplete no man's land on the PK. Enough is enough. Earn your ice. Agree or disagree?
Totally agree. Like, yeah, he just has a play style that he's trying to just create space with his feet, which he doesn't necessarily have right now, and isn't willing to engage in any type of physical battle or drive through any type of play. If there's not a huge hole for him to skate through, he's not willing to go get it. It's always been a problem. He's had one great series basically since he's been a Leaf. And it keeps popping up. And it seems too like this team's getting hit with injuries. The stars are, like, you know, Willie having his migraines, Marner having the high ankle sprain, Matthew having the poops. It's
so
all kind
just
of
isn't the year.
Yeah. Like the year. And it sucks because, like, you look
it's
at next year
and
we've always known that next year is supposed to be the nightmare year. So, like, it's a little depressing to talk about, but I love a lot of things about this team, but there's just a lot of things still missing. And a bunch of it is just, like, the team mentality and, like, willing to, like, you know, go to war with your team. I feel like a few guys individually bring it, but it's not like a total team buy-in where, like, they're operating as a group.
No, you're right. And the Leafs have lost 6 straight playoff games on home ice, getting outscored 21-11 in the process. Why can't they play playoff games at home?
I don't know. Like, you're supposed to have an advantage. Sheldon Keefe, for having such a good regular season record, to just have such a brutal home record in the playoffs, it's unacceptable. Like, I don't know. Like, Sheldon Keefe, he's basically gone now. I can't imagine him coming back at all after a first round loss. So
first round exit, which is almost inevitable at this point. 32 of 333 possible times, which we said at the top of the show, like 10% of the teams who have ever went down 3-1 have come back and won the series. It's looking pretty bleak. It's looking pretty grim for these Toronto Maple Leafs.
Actually, a comment from Justin Miller here, dump and don't chase. And, like, that's a big part of this problem is, like, this team's trying to play a game style that they're just not used to and they don't do. You know, they've have one line that is used to dump and chase, and it's the fourth. And they're the ones that have played fairly decent, you know, besides, like, the big fuck-ups. But in the offensive zone, they've been okay. And it's because they know how to bash and crash. And you know, get pucks. Yeah. And so, like, it's like a
That's what they're built for. That the other three lines are supposed to be skilled to take the puck in and make plays. But this team as a whole can't make a play in the postseason right now. Like, that's the number one problem, is that they don't have that other skill in their back pocket, as you just mentioned. Like, that's the number one thing. If they had that play style, yeah, we like to play like this, and we do have the skill to play like that when the opportunity arises. But to get in behind good defenses and strong structured teams like the Boston Bruins, then you have to be able to play that style. Dump it, chase it, get the puck back, win those puck battles along the boards, get them out, and not have a pass in your fucking teammates' feet.
Yeah, and it's something you have to do like through the entire regular season, so you're good at it. And so like you either have to do that through the season, or you have to decide and stick to your guns and what your play style is. Like, I'm not saying that like they should be turning into this dump and chase team right now. You know, it's like, yes, that's the style that they should be good at. But if it's not, like, you know, try and do what you're good at. And they're just not able to do that at all. So, like, I would rather them lose the puck in through traffic than dumping it in and being so unsuccessful time and time again.
Yeah, absolutely. So Marchand up to his same old bullshit again. I don't know why nobody has punched this guy in the mouth. Like, that was clearly, like, that looks like charging, took more than two strides, and then he clips him. He doesn't even give him a full hit. That was dirty as dirty comes, rat boy. And Lord Dave on Twitter said, what the fuck is the point of Orion Reeves if Marchand is still allowed to be a prick and do whatever he wants? Send a fucking message. And before you answer with anything that has to say, well, he's not on the ice at the same time, maybe the question we should be asking is, why the fuck isn't he on the ice at the same time? Why don't we have Kyle Clifford going and doing something stupid? We've got so many NHL caliber players within the Toronto Maple Leafs organization that could fill that fourth line role. Go and bring somebody in and send a fucking message. It's probably too late now, but do you disagree or do you agree?
I agree. I mean, I think the part of the tough guy is like when you're someone's getting roughed up, like you point at one of their skilled guys and go like, hey, you're going to go and get Marner. Like, I'm going and getting DeBrusk. Like, here we go. And that's just something that Reeves, he likes to do the like tough guy thing, but he doesn't do any of the other things. And I guess it's partly too that like, Bertuzzi and Domi, like for the first couple games, they were really kind of bringing it to Marchand and like, you know, majorly losing that battle. And I assume that Keefe has told them to back that off a little bit because, and it's just, that's not the answer either. So, yeah, like that guy just runs a show in the playoffs. It's crazy.
He gets away with everything.
Yeah. Right? Like, I don't know if that's in between a slew foot and a trip and a hit. Like, that's gotta be a penalty though. I think it was BX that said like it should be a fine as well because it's just a dirty play. But like he'll do that over and over again and doesn't even have a single penalty in this playoffs is just insane. Like to think that guy hasn't like even just like offsetting penalties, he doesn't even have that. Like it's crazy.
Yeah, he doesn't have a single penalty in this series. That's the fucking thing that we should be talking about. Brad Marchand doesn't have a single penalty in this playoff series. Wow, that's just fucking amazing. That just tells you everything you need to know about NHL reffing and the state of the NHL right now. That is crazy. That is nuts. I had no idea that was a true fact. I was not paying attention that closely, and I am blown away. Brad Marchand does not have a penalty yet in this series. Wow, okay.
Yeah.
So where's playoff Bertuzzi? We thought playoff Bertuzzi, if he's getting fucked around like this by Marchand, shouldn't he have sent the message early? And if not, shouldn't he have sent the message with his play? He's got one goal, one secondary assist, 11 shots in three games and two periods from when I grabbed these stats. He's a 44% expected goals for, and he is leading, his line is leading the high danger chances for, but it's 21-10, and you're on the top scoring line. Like, you're supposed to do that. Where the hell's playoff Bert? Is this good enough for you? Is this what you expected?
Well, I think that this team's not playing playoff Bert style hockey. Like there's not enough like pucks inside and getting into the middle where he likes to play. So like, I think it's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Like he doesn't fit with this play and he's not like standing out either. And like, you know, he's missing opportunities. I don't know like if there's a hole in his stick or something, but any one timer that's just not perfectly placed on a stick, he seems to just miss completely. So, yeah, I think there's a lot going on of like yeah, he's not having good playoffs. I just not necessarily think it's not as like his fault, because he's one of the couple guys that are kind of bringing it every night. It's just not going in. And the top line has, it's one of those where it's been the most dominant line for the Leafs, and it has not been successful putting the puck in. A little bit of Swayman being good, a little bit of a ton of block shots when they shouldn't be, or not used to be. So, yeah, it hasn't been working for Kerber, but yeah, it's not 10 points in seven games, though. That's for damn sure. Jeez.
Yeah. Is he going to go off for 5 points next game, and we're just going to... Like, I don't know. I'm not thrilled with this whole team as a whole. I don't know. I think the number one thing that this team is lacking is speed. I think that they need speed. They need guys who can skate faster, push play, and play at that speed, and pass the puck and make a play. They need more guys like that and less shooters. They've got too many guys who want to just rifle the puck. I think a big problem with this team is John Tavares is not the John Tavares of the past. He's still a skilled player, and he might be a good third-line center. He might be a good third-line center, but he's not the second-line guy that we need. This team is seriously lacking a second-line center. That is the biggest gaping hole that you can see. Somebody who can make plays, who is fast, who can play with Willie and use the speed the way that like Mitch Marner can skate, William Nylander can skate. Those guys having to hang around with a John Tavares, that's just not working. Plays are, you know, like you need that third guy for when the second guy's taken out. Sometimes you're not going to be open. Like not every time are you going to have the guy open. So all three guys on that, in that top, or I guess even all six guys in the top six, what am I even saying? They all need to be able to contribute when the other two are taken off the line. And like, that's just not something that the Leafs have right now. I think that's the biggest thing that this team is lacking. You can go at defense, and I think there's probably going to be a big defensive change. But like, I think the number one problem right now is they're not able to get in behind the Bruins quicker than they are because they're slow. They're not able to make a play, so they can't fancy their way through the zone. They're not a dump-and-chase team, so they're just not used to playing that style. It's just, don't know what more to say than that.
Yeah, John Tavares, currently at his current play, I think is more of like a third-line center. And he's being paid like a first-line center, and he's put on the second line. So, yeah, it's just he's past his prime, and there's no question. And that's why next year is just such a nightmare, because he's still going to make the same amount, and you can assume that his play is still going to keep going down. After that, like, you can have a whole different conversation about John Tavares, if what he's worth as like a $2 million player or whatever it might be. That's
like
totally
four
different.
And a half, maybe.
Like, yeah, that would like be... we can talk about that, but currently it's just there's no argument for it being worth it. Like he's not contributing like he should be. And there's so many good things about him, but just yeah, everything that you just said, I can just say ditto to basically. Yeah, tough spot for the Leafs and him. And like when you're the only option that you could go to is kind of Domi would be your replacement for that, like. William Nylander, who's played 6 total games at center in his career. There's just no other option, you know, like Holmberg, Dewar. The depth chart at center is just very slim. And that was supposed to be the strength of this team. It's just like, you know, depth down the middle. You got 2 number one centermen. And
yeah, so they forgot about having to have ones for the future. And what about when it all doesn't work out? Yeah. So now they have nobody.
Yeah. No, like that's something honestly, that you got to fill through free agency at this point.
A big thing I think they were relying on in the offseason was Ryan O'Reilly staying. So, I mean, that's probably that. But you can't ifs and buts or candy and nuts, right? The point is that you can just clearly see the flaws of this team. They're so close. They're very skilled. And they look like they could get there. But whether you want to chalk it up to the injuries that everybody has faced or the top six has faced, I mean, even Cali Yarncroke is just coming back from injury. Like, there's lots of guys that are coming back from injury, playing kind of hurt. You want to blame it on having shaky goaltending? Like, do you want to talk about goaltending?
It's not the best. We're going to see a wall next game, that's for sure. We're big time losing the goaltender battle, and it's a massive part of playoff hockey.
Yeah, Jeremy Swayman, like holy Jeremy Swayman, what a guy. I had no idea. I wasn't familiar with your game. I have to apologize. Like, I had no idea, Jeremy Swayman, that you were that good. I just like, yeah, we don't see you that often. And like, holy, you are that good. Like he is, there was a lot of goals that you, or a lot of shots you would expected to be goals in this series. I will say that, that I think on, you know, if we were to luck out and win the division and we were playing, like a Washington or, I mean, not necessarily a Tampa, but like somebody on the weaker end, that those goals would come in. And there's goalies that most goalies would let that. And I think Vasi, like he's been kind of a sieve in this playoffs. They won tonight, but he hasn't exactly been solid. I just think that Swayman is above and beyond the bench boss that has ever been faced by the Toronto Maple Leafs before. It's like the final boss you have to get through is Jeremy Swayman. After that, everything should, honestly, it's not going to get worse than that in net, do you think? Like, if they got through this round against Swayman, is there another goaltender that's going to make them feel the way Jeremy Swayman has?
Yeah, like, there could be, for sure. Like, you know, there's a lot of good goalies in this division. Like, even Bobrovsky can go on a 7-game heater and be amazing, you know. Vasilevsky, obviously, Shesterkin. Like, there's a lot of guys that can be that goalie. Swayman just seems to be really consistent. And I think he's just had the perfect development program ever. You know, comes in and could probably have been a starting goalie 3 years ago. You know, they really shelter him. They even bring in another starting goalie when there's had, you know, retired and moved on, you know, had someone to perfectly shelter him in Allmark this year's, and you know, they become best friends. It can't get any better in the goalie situation there. It's been perfect. You could write it out and you would forget some of the steps of how well this has gone. So Swayman, I think, tonight though, I'm not sure he was like the real reason, could just because Boston's defense was so amazing. Like, they just cut everything off,
as a whole team. It's not even just their defense. Like, yeah, you notice there's players playing defense, playing the defender pinch, and the forward would go back, and the forward was still very strong in the structure, knew where to be, good at fishing pucks out there as a whole, right?
Yeah.
Defensively sound.
And one thing, like, my girlfriend asked me, like, well, what's this team even missing? And I was like, they're just missing, like, stars. Like, and she was like, what are you talking about? There's so many stars on this team. I was like, sorry, they're missing, like, you know, real stars. Like, not guys that are just famous and make a lot of money. Like, guys that have dog and heart. That's what they're missing. Guys who are, like, you know, hate to lose, like you like to say. It's just missing. There might be, like I said, a couple of them that are like really heartbroken and felt like they gave it all. But unless you have like a team mentality and you need a leader that's going to bring everybody together. And I think there's also a disconnect there of who's actually the leader of this team. Is it the guy with the C, or is it the guy that's screaming at everyone and playing the best? Because, you know, I think that's a problem as well.
Yeah, well, that's going to be a conversation for us to have in the offseason. So why don't we start talking about next game? Changes? Do you see changes next game anywhere up front, back end? Obviously, we think Wohl's going to start. You think you're pretty set on that? Yeah, Sammy's not getting another chance?
No. I think, I think that's just like a sure thing. One thing that I'm not 100% on, but I'm pretty confident, is that Dewar will be back. That fourth line just didn't have the same groove without him, so... I think that he'll be back. Robertson, I think, will be scratched. Like he's one of the guys that really brings it, but like, yeah, they're not going to scratch Yarncroke, you know.
It's like Holmberg.
No, because who's going to play center?
Try anything, Yarncroke. Try it. Yeah, your back's against the wall.
He hasn't done it in like 3 years, and he wasn't great at it then. So like, I don't care.
Put a third guy on the ice.
Yeah, maybe even Nyes, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I actually wouldn't have minded if they had swapped Nyes and Robertson tonight, because neither line was great, you know, and at least Nyes, like, he's used to playing with those guys, and he does after a power play. So, like, I just thought, like, there was some shuffling that Keith just seems to not shuffle anything because he's taken so much criticism.
Oh, no, he was shuffling a bit tonight. He had Robertson up with JT for a bit.
Just because Matthews gets injured, and then he's like forced to shuffle it.
That was after that, yeah. True. But before that, there wasn't very much shuffling. No, you are correct.
I don't want.
What about on the back end?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Like, Brody wasn't amazing, but like Liljegren hadn't been amazing either. So I don't know. I think they'll probably stay with it. Yeah.
just is what it is at this point, eh?
Yeah. And, when we talked about the defense being like, could we adequate if all of them were playing at their absolute best? I think we always like had a caveat with that, and they're just not. So I think they like as a group, they have to play better. You know, the forwards have to play better defensively, and just and a lot of their defensive troubles are coming from through the neutral zone and turning pucks over. So, yeah, it's a. It's an issue.
It's a sad state of affairs over here right now. Yeah. And yeah, so Matthews, hopefully it's just the shits and he's back next game. But I don't know if we're going to see any shakeups on the lineup. We're going to have to see what happens here, practice their asses off. But the Leafs could be playing their final game of the 2023-2024 season next game. And when do we have that next CP? Do you know? Saturday, would we play Monday again, or do we take a long day off?
No, we have 2 days off now, I think. I think they're Tuesday now.
Back on Tuesday. Tuesday at 7. So, they got...
That's the sad part about playoffs for the Leafs. It's like, you get so excited about it, and then it's like...
It's all over.
Next game could be the next. And now I have to be a Blue Jays fan full-time, and they can't even score 2 runs. Or 2 runs seems to be all they can do, so... yeah, it's just a sad time of year.
yeah, it's a sad time of year for
it's
sure.
Still cold out too.
Yeah, I know it's still cold out too. It's not supposed to be.
I'm
you're
depressed.
Supposed to be able to get hockey until it's nice, and then you go outside and you enjoy your life. But no, the Toronto Maple Leafs can't even give us that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's wrap this one up. Thanks for joining us and Split the Defense Leafs post game. We appreciate your comments. Hit that like button, subscribe to our YouTube. Please rate and review the show. We want your feedback. You can find us on X at STDP Hockey and search for Split the Defense on all of their socials. Until next time, peace.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs Postgame Edition. Hosted by Jordan Webster, Craig Pierce, and producer Ted Evans. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors. Professional and efficient service since 2004. Serving the Kingston and surrounding areas.